this place. O Holy Spirit, let's all stand. Fall on this place. Father, fill us with love and grace. Shine your anointing on every face. O Holy Spirit, is that your desire this morning? Let's just worship Him, invite Him in. O Holy Spirit, fall on this place. Father, fill us with love and grace. Shine your anointing on every place. Hallelujah. O Holy Spirit, fall on. Let's sing it to Him once more. O Holy Spirit, fall on this place. O Father, fill us with love and grace. Shine your anointing on every face. O Holy Spirit, Brother Terrence, would you come this morning? O Holy Spirit, fall on this place. O Father, fill us with love and grace. Shine your anointing on every face. O Holy Spirit, fall on this place.
Amen. Good morning. Glad to be with us this morning. If you're a visitor, thanks for coming. I'm sure you was here yesterday, so we thank the Lord for bringing you back. Got a couple announcements here. Remember, July the 11th, we'll be having a drive-through shower for Rebecca and Mark. Mark needs a shower. We'll work on that later. July the 11th is 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., like we all say. If you don't want to come, come up, bring it on the 12th, which will be Sunday. We'll take it on Sunday, too. So just remember that. Drive-through shower coming in this coming, will be this coming Saturday, right? Yes. So remember that. Amen. Excuse me a second. Also, there's a 20th anniversary at World of Life Tabernacle, which I'm sure is in Covington. They're having meetings August the 21st through the 23rd, so remember that. Information is up here. We'll make that again. Still a little ways away, but we'll keep making that announcement. Sister Rebecca Atkins is sick this morning. Remember her, Brother Angie. Sister Angie Brown has an unspoken request. We have those. And then Kendrick Arline and his family is traveling to Michigan, so remember them. I'm sure there's other people that are traveling. Be with them. Bless them. Keep them all safe as we go. Remember, our brother will be preaching this morning. Just keep him on your heart. And I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling today. Be with them and bless them. Keep them all safe wherever they may be today, Lord. Be with our brother Andrew will be preaching, Lord. Give him strength, Lord, and give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Lord, remember the ones that are sick, Sister Rebecca. Lord, and Sister Angie Brown's unspoken request, Lord. Many other people that we've known of and unspoken requests, Lord, that need a touch from you. You come down and bless them today. Bless our services here and be with us in God. Forgive us of all of our sins. We love you for you many, many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
For all things are possible. Only believe, oh, Jesus is here, Jesus is here, and all things are possible, for Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. He is here. Just worship him now. Oh, he is here. So hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless his name. Calling out your name this morning. Yes, he is here, and you can touch him. You will never be the same. Oh, he is here. Yes, hallelujah. He is here.
Thankful that he's here in our midst this morning. Amen. Brother Mark, would you come this morning and receive our tithes and offering?
Services here today, and the youth service this afternoon, Father God. Just touch Brother Andrew as he's preparing now to bring the word. We ask in that name, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that chorus in moments like these in key of C. You happy to be in the presence of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
It's in moments like these we just sing out to him our love song. Amen. In moments like these, oh, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, let's just praise him. I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love. Oh, we love you, Lord, this morning.
just like these. Oh, I sing out a song. Yes, I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, oh yes, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to you, Lord.
I just want to say one thing. This time, last year, I wasn't able to walk very well or talk very well. But the Lord is always merciful and kind to us. The scripture said, God, when the enemy comes in, right, like a flood,
yes,
God will raise up a standard, amen, against it. And so I'm just thankful that God took care of the matter.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Satan will never leave you alone.
Right.
Whatever happens, when God take care of one thing, he'll bring something else against you. I just went to the doctor Friday. I had Parkinson's disease. The doctor said that he could find no signs of it.
Glory.
So thank him for the blessing again.
Amen.
We're going to read this morning from Psalm 89, verses 1 through 15. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful and thankful, God, your many blessings and your mercies continue unto each of us. Lord, when it seemed like the way it's hindered, but God will bring you through it. Just keep trusting. It said that he has already healed us, that by his stripes we are healed. Lord, we are trusting and believing in his holy word and ask you to lead us and guide and bless us, Father. Wherever we are each day, Lord, just give us strength to continue on. Father, we love you and we love each other. We ask you to bless our hearts. Bless the services this morning. Bless the reading of this word, God, that it becomes a part of us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations.
For I have sinned, mercy shall be built up. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens.
I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant.
Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne for all generations.
And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the generation of the saints.
For who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord?
God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence to all them that are about him. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them.
Thou hast broken their head in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm.
The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, as for the world and the fullness thereof thou hast founded them.
The north and the south thou hast created them. They lower and earth of thy name.
Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand.
Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face.
Blessed is the people that knoweth the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. God bless you. Be seated.
Amen. Such a blessing to walk in the light of the countenance of the Lord. Amen. Let's sing that chorus, "Because He Lives." We're going to go ahead and ask the Jacksonville believers if they could make their way up here for their special song. Now, they're going to leave after the first service, so we're also going to have Wade and Monica's class, I believe, come up after them for a song too, so they can enjoy them. So if you would like to make your way up, the Jacksonville believers up here.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone.
Not sure.
Esta mañana traemos un canto.
This morning we brought a song.
No nuevo.
Not new.
Son cantos viejos.
It's songs that you might know.
Pero lo traemos para la honra y gloria del Señor Jesucristo.
But we bring it for the Lord.
Si nos equivocamos,
if we mess up,
¿nos perdonarían?
Forgive us.
Los jóvenes van a cantar un canto primero y después yo voy a cantar otro canto.
The young people are going to sing a song and then I will sing another song afterwards.
Que el Señor Jesucristo les bendiga.
May the Lord bless you.
There is power in the name. seated, church. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Okay. Estoy nerviosa, me disculpan.
I'm nervous, I'm sorry.
Cantaban, pero todos alababan al Señor. Un profeta enviado de Dios vino ya, la palabra con poder habló y en amor de tinieblas. Densa nos sacó a la luz, no hay Dios que pueda hacer las obras como las que haces tú, no hay Dios que pueda hacer las obras como las que haces tú. Con espadas ni con ejército, mas con su Santo Espíritu. No es con espadas ni con ejército, mas con su Santo Espíritu. Y esos montes se moverán, y esos montes se moverán. Esos montes se moverán, mas con su Santo Espíritu.
Dios le bendiga. Que sea para la honra y la gloria del Señor Jesucristo.
Sacrifice they made to come up here to worship with us this weekend. Had a blessed time hearing the word yesterday, and I hope you've been blessed too. We'll have Brother Wade's class and Sister Monica's class if they would make their way up here.
When I'm in need, I call on the Lord, and He hears me. Yes, He helps me. He is faithful and true, won't forget His own. My companion, my best friend, the only true God, there's no one greater, wonderful Savior, Jesus, the Lion of Judah.
Our God is tremendous, His strength never faileth. He goes to the fire just to save a sinner, 'cause He is almighty.
Tremendous. It's the greatest love story, the greatest plan of redemption God revealed in you and me. Hallelujah. Let's all stand as we change the order of the service. I believe we've created the atmosphere for the word to come forth. Just invite him in as our brother Andrew comes this morning. All in minds and hearts clear. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
This morning.
Amen.
Amen. I truly believe we've come here today to see him.
Amen.
Amen. And we know that if you come to see a man, well, you're going to leave disappointed. If you come to see him, he'll meet the needs of your heart. Amen. We sure are a privileged people today. Amen. To know what we know and to believe what we believe. Amen. We greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. My, what an atmosphere has been created in the building this morning. We know that before the believers arrived here, there was no God here. God don't dwell in sheetrock and carpet, but he dwells in the hearts of his children. I believe this morning he's here. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, we'll go straight to the scripture, to the book of Numbers. We want to look there in the 14th chapter. Numbers, the 14th chapter. And while you're turning there, we want to take this opportunity to say we have sure enjoyed being here with you this weekend. And sure pray that something was said yesterday to bless you and help you, the young people in the meeting, and sure appreciate the vision and the burden to have the meeting for the young people, as we said, with all the camps and things being canceled because of the things going on in our land today. Amen. I think it was special to be able to get together with the young people again, amen, and just to worship the Lord. And sure want to say we appreciate Brother Sam and his allowing us to come and minister to you this weekend, and met Brother Sam and Brother Wade several years back in the minister's meeting. And I was a young feller then, still young, but just real thing I really admired about Brother Sam was every time I heard him in those minister's meetings, he was promoting the message. And I thank God for elders that are here standing promoting this message. And you see this morning the fruit, amen, of a pastor that'll promote the message, amen. And we want to say God bless you, Brother Sam, and we appreciate you for doing that. And somebody that'll just say what a prophet said and not change it or water it down, but say it the way he said it. And I admire that in you, brother, and I appreciate it. So God bless you this morning. And we just want to look here in the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter and the 41st verse. And before we read this morning, can we just bow our hearts together? We pray over a natural meal and ask the Lord to bless it. And we know this is a spiritual meal. So let's just ask the Lord to come and speak to us. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we gather here this morning, we do not come here out of ritual. We do not come here out of tradition, Father, but we come here because there is a deep calling to the deep on the inside of our hearts. And Lord, we know that your word has promised us that where two or three would gather in your name, Father, you said you would come and be in the midst of them. And I believe here this morning that you're here in the midst of the church. I believe that you're here in power. I believe you're here in authority. I believe you're here in reality this morning. And Father, we know that as believers come together, Lord, we all come from different walks of life, different, Lord, trials, different situations. We're all a needy people here this morning. But Father, we know that your word is still a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And Lord, as your prophet has taught us, that the gift of a preacher is to be able to get himself out of the way. And I pray this morning, oh God, that you would come and you would help me this morning, Lord, to get myself out of the way. Father, you see what I've looked at and prepared and studied. But Father, I know that you know if there's a need in this building, Lord, you can lead me away from these notes. Lord, you can lead me in the direction you would have me to go, Father. And I just ask you this morning to help me, Lord, to be sensitive to your spirit. Father, may you anoint me, Lord, but I ask you not just anoint me as the speaker, but oh God, may you anoint the people as the hearers, Father. Lord, may you, Lord, anoint them to pull and to receive this morning, dear God. And Father, as we have come this morning, we know there's sickness in the land. We know there's discouragements, there's bondages, there's trials. But I pray this morning, Lord, that you would send a grace this morning from the word of God that would cover your children today, Lord. Father, I pray you would bind the hand of every enemy that would try to torment them, dear God. You would bind the hand of every spirit that would try to hold them this morning, Lord. And Father, may they hear that Jubilee trumpet this morning sounding, dear God. They can go free, Father. I pray you would bless them this morning. Anoint us afresh today, God, and we'll be sure to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our failures and our shortcomings, Lord. May when we leave this service today, God, may we leave closer to you than we were when we come, and we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for it's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. And all the believers said, amen. Amen and amen. In the book of Numbers here, the 14th chapter, in the 41st verse, the Bible here says, and Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten, he says, before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. Now here Moses is a vindicated prophet of God speaking to them, telling them this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to transpire. And they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. And then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hermah. We ask the Lord this morning to add the blessing to the reading of his word, as you may have your seats here. For just a few moments this morning, by the help of the Lord, I'd like to, if I can, to minister to you here out of these scriptures. And for those of you that study the message and listen to the tapes, you're very well aware that this was Brother Bram's text for the message, presuming. And I want to speak to you here for just a few moments here on supreme authority by the word. Supreme authority by the word. When you begin to speak about authority, we all know that Brother Bram tells us we don't have any power. He says, but we have authority. He said, you don't take power. Someone said, you got any power? No, but I've got authority. That's right. He said, you take a little policeman standing out there. He wears a uniform. His hat is too big for him, sits down over his ears. He hasn't got power to stop nothing. He said, but let him walk out there in a car coming down the street with 300 horsepower engine. Let him raise up that hand and watch the brakes slide. He said, why? He hasn't got no power, but he's got authority. And when a man or woman is anointed with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he may not be able to read his name in boxcar-sized letters with education, but he has got authority from God, and that he is a son of God. And let him take his authority and stand and say, stop. Amen. And Satan's wheels will slide, brakes will, something will take place, because he's been given authority by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And in my name they shall cast out devils. That's it. Sure, he don't have to have a DDD or a PhD. He has to know Jesus and know what's been given him. There he stands. Yes, sir. So, amen. I think this morning that we're aware, amen, that the hour we're living in is a day and time, amen, where everybody is right. Amen. Everybody is right. Nobody is wrong. Amen. But I'll just say this. We have come to a time, amen, that we've got to take a stand. Amen. We've come to a time, amen, where it's not going to work just to be a church member. It's not going to work, amen, just to say you believe a prophet and to believe you, amen, to go to a certain church. But there's got to come a time that you, as an individual, amen, take a personal stand upon this message. Now, amen, when you speak about the message of the hour, amen, you find that there are many opinions, amen, on the message of the hour. But I'll say this, amen, I believe that the message is Christ, amen, and I believe, amen, that Christ is the authority, amen, therefore Christ is our authority this morning. Now, amen, I'll just say it this way, the message has come with a purpose, amen, amen. God didn't send this message just to send another idea, amen, upon the Bible, or send another prophet, amen, but he sent it that this message would take our churches and would make them churches of authority. Amen. He sent this message that our homes, amen, would become homes of authority. Our young people, amen, would become young people of authority. Amen. To think this morning that we are not here, amen, based upon a creed. We are not here based upon a tradition. Amen. But we are here because the Bible says, worse ever the carcass is, amen, there the eagles will be gathered together. Amen. And what is that carcass this morning? It's the Word. Amen. And we have come here around the Word this morning. Amen. And I'll say there is a power this morning. Amen. There is an authority this morning in the house of God that you can stand up. Amen. And whatever devil is pushing against you, you can tell that devil it's time to stop. Amen. Amen. As that police officer couldn't stop the car. Amen. But when he showed him his authority, he said, stop, and the car stopped. Amen. And I say this morning, there is an authority in this message. Amen. That you can tell the devil, Satan, you got to back off. Amen. We are not just another church. Amen. But we are a people of authority. Amen. To think that the message of the hour this morning, it's not a message of presuming. Amen. Amen. If you listen to any tapes at all, you'll know Brother Bram was not a presumer. Amen. He was a prophet of God. Amen. And I'll say it this way. The message of the hour is not a message of presuming. Amen. But the message of the hour is the authority to the church of the living God. Amen. I'll just lay a foundation here. Brother Bram says in the unveiling of God, he said, think of it. The same pillar of fire, amen, that come upon those men that wrote the Bible is the same pillar of fire here interpreting the Bible. Amen. He said, how we thank him for that same, what a comfort. Amen. What an identification. I am so glad, amen, to be identified in that. I don't know what to do. He said, I'd rather be identified in that than all the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, all of the rest of them identified in that word where the Shekinah glory and revelation lays. Amen. Then where is the Shekinah glory? It's in the word. Amen. Where is the revelation? It's in the Word. Amen. See, the pillar of fire then appeared visible among us, identifying that the message is right. Amen. Like he did at the Mount Sinai. I remember before the true message come forth, Moses preached and he led them out of Egypt. But before the real commandments was laid down. And I love how he says this, Brother Dale. He says the seals was brought in. He said, see, God came down before the people and proved that Moses, amen, was sent from him. That's right. In a pillar of fire, Moses had seen in a bush, had talked to him, and in the last days, amen, to see the same pillar of fire, amen, right among us, speaking the same word. Not only that, amen, but interpreting it by making it manifest and proving it's the truth. Amen. See, when did Moses meet the pillar of fire? He met the pillar of fire before the Exodus. Amen. Now, come on, church. Amen. When did the pillar of fire come to Brother Branham? It didn't come in 64. Amen. It didn't come in 65. It came before the opening of the seals, amen, to identify him as a voice of authority in the age that we're living in. My, I tell you this morning, amen, it does my heart good, amen, to know when there's so many voices in the land, there is a voice of authority that has come from this prophet of God. Amen. You say, Brother Andy, you get excited about it. It excites me. Amen. When I think about a world of confusion. Amen. When I think about a world when churches don't know what to do. Amen. Preachers don't know what to do. Amen. We have heard a prophet of God say, you've come past this mountain long enough. It's time to turn and go northward. Amen. See, Brother Branham is showing us then, amen, that the hour that we're living in, the world is presuming. Now, amen, it was not only that the world was presuming. Amen. But he was showing you every denomination was presuming. Amen. Now what were they doing? They were assuming, amen, that they were right, and then they were presuming God was with them. Amen. They were assuming that they were right, then they were presuming that God was with them. Amen. Now see, the only way, amen, that they could become confident in the thoughts that God was with them is when they left the Word. See, the prophet God said, I just love to read the Word. He said, because I know that the Word is what we stay by. It must always be the Word of God, or we'll go on the wrong road. See, then without the Word, amen, we're another church. Amen. Without the Word, we're another gathering. Amen. But when the Word is revealed, then it brings a meaning to the gathering of the people. Amen. Think this morning how many churches, amen, are gathered in this area. Amen. And it's a building. They've got music. They've got pulpits. Amen. They've got thousands of people. Amen. But they've got no meaning in their gathering because they're presuming. Amen. But here we are this morning. We may just be a handful of people. Amen. But in the house of God this morning is some believers that didn't come here hoping God was going to be here. Amen. But they come here knowing God was going to be here, because if his word is welcome, then he is welcome. My, to think this morning, amen, that the word of the Lord, amen, comes to the prophet. Now, Amos 3:7, amen, the Bible says, surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealeth his secret, amen, unto his servants, the prophets. Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, amen, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Amen. See, then a prophet comes along and says, what is a prophet? He said, a prophet is a diviner of the word. See, he's not a diviner of your feelings. He's not a diviner of your emotions or sensation. Amen. But he is a diviner of the word. And he says, see, then there's no higher order, amen, to reveal the word than a prophet. Amen. Now, I'm just laying a foundation here. Amen. We're just kind of getting to know each other this morning. Amen. But I'll set this way. I'll set the way the prophet said. Notice, not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message.
Amen.
See, the first pull healing, amen, the second pull prophesying, amen, the third pull was the opening of the word. He said the mysteries revealed. No higher order, amen, to reveal the word than prophets, but the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. Amen. See, the third pull, I love this, amen, and remember, the third pull was the opening of them seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the word. Amen. Now think of this morning. There's three pulls. Amen. There's a first pull, which was healing. There's a second pull, which was prophesying. There's a third pull, he said, which was the opening of the word. Now watch this. You are a triune being. Amen. You are body, you are spirit, and you are soul. Amen. Now listen, friends. You know as well as I know that first pull, amen, was dealing with the flesh. Amen. It was dealing with the flesh. There's a sickness there. Amen. That second pull was dealing with discernment, which broke into the spirit. Amen. But when you come to that third pull, it is dealing with the word, which has got to be not in your flesh, amen, not in your spirit, amen, but the word has got to be anchored in your soul. And I say this morning, church, if the word is not in the church, this is just a building, and devils can have their way, amen, but if the word is here, we can stand up and say, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of the word of the living God, we take jurisdiction over the church. My, what an hour to be living in. Amen. What a time when the word has come back to the church. Amen. We are not here this morning. Amen. Just reading the Bible. Amen. Your pastor's not been preaching all these years, just reading scriptures. Amen. But there's an authority behind this pulpit. Amen. What put authority behind it? The message of the hour. Amen. I feel good this morning. Amen. You find then what happens is when a prophet comes, amen, demons begin to tremble. Amen. When a prophet comes, hell gets nervous. Amen. When a prophet comes on the scene, amen. Now let's just preach here for a second. Amen. Because the idea of a prophet's greatly changed from Bible times till today. Amen. When a prophet showed up in Bible times, amen, it wasn't a happy-go-lucky day. Amen. It wasn't God's going to bless you and the bank account's going to... When a prophet showed up, God meant business. Amen. And I thank God that in the last days, when the world had fallen under an error, amen, of what a prophet is, he would send a prophet among us. It would not be a Hollywood evangelist, amen, but he would be a pillar of fire, anointed man, amen, to stand and take the Bible, which was a symbolic book, and reveal it. Amen. Now I'm just going to give you a disclaimer here. When I get in this area, I get happy. Amen. Because under a prophet, symbols become revelation. Amen. Under a prophet, amen, it removes the element of mystery and opens up the reality of what was behind that mystery. See, in the fourth seal, he said the book has actually been closed all the time. It's there, but it's still in symbols. They seen it. John even saw it. Amen. The announcement, when the first come forth, he said a white horse went forth. He had a rider on him. See, he might stumble. Amen. It was just in a symbol. He said, as far as any man upon the earth, that's all he could say. He could only say what he saw. Oh, brother. Amen, brother Sam. I remember one time I just started preaching, and I went preach for a guy, and I was out preaching. And I'd been studying that seventh seal, the third pull. Amen. The opening word, and it was bubbling in me. You know, y'all know how it is. Amen. And I was preaching away, and I said, praise God. Amen. That third pull is here, and it's in effect in the church. And brother sitting over there, he got all bowled up, you know, after service. He said, brother, you better leave that alone. There ain't no authority in that. Amen. You need to leave that alone. He said, you can't preach that. Amen. I said, brother, let me ask you something. Do you preach holiness? He said, of course I preach holiness. I said, you know why you preach it is because you see it. Amen. And when you see something, you can't help it when you see it. Amen. Come on. When you see it, it's going to ignite a fire. I pray this morning, church, that the same God, amen, that opened the eyes of Paul, amen, would come in this building today and he would open your eyes and you would see more than just a church. You would see more than just a preacher, but you would see there is a reality to this message. Amen. I'll go a step further and say, when you see it, you can't unsee it. Amen. When you see something, you can't unsee. When you hear something, you can't unhear it. Amen. And I thank God. Amen. Amen. Can I preach this morning? I thank God there is some people in this land today that has seen this message. They have heard this message. It has quickened the inside of their soul. Amen. And there's no way that they can turn away from it now. They've done been behind the veil. They've done laid in the Shekinah glory. They've done eat the shoe bread. Amen. It's done become real to them. My, he might stumble. He might stagger. Amen. But when he sees it, amen, he might hit here and hit there. But when he sees it, we find out that in the book of Revelation, at the seventh angel's message, he says the mysteries, all the mysteries of it should already be revealed by that time. Amen. Now let's just preach here this morning. Amen. Amen. You don't know what a blessing it is to be preaching in a church that you know they believe the message. Amen. Amen. Now let's just be honest. Amen. People get scared to death of the word mystery. Amen. Now let me just tell you, the reason why they get scared is not because what Brother Branham done with it, because of what men behind him done with the word. Amen. Like the thunders. Amen. You say seven thunders and everybody gets all twirled. Amen. But let me remind you, amen, before there was a false teaching of the thunders, there was a vindicated prophet preaching the seven thunders. Amen. Before there was a false teaching on the seven seals, there was a vindicated prophet preaching the true teaching. See, then we've come to the time, amen, where the backbone of this bride is those divine revealed mystery truths. See, that it should be revealed according to that time. Now in Daniel 12:4, the Bible says, but thou, O Daniel, amen, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. For many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. Amen. Now if you go read like the book of Daniel, you read the book of Zechariah, the book of all the Old Testament prophets, you're constantly reading symbols. When you read the book of Zechariah, he's going to talk about golden candlesticks and lampstands. You're reading about symbols. Amen. See, now as long as it's in symbol form, amen, then there's no threat to the devil. Amen. Because there's no understanding of what the symbol is. In the message of seven churches, church ages, how the book of Revelation, how it's made up. And he says, see how Daniel ties with it. He said Isaiah ties it with it. All the Old Testament ties in with the book of Revelation. He said it's the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, see, in the mark of the beast 54, remember all the revelation is in vision and symbolic. He said, all of it has a meaning. Amen. So you have to watch closely. Amen. Read the prophets. Amen. See what the symbols mean. Then compare it over here so that you'll know what the symbols really mean. Amen. And you study the Bible. Amen. The Bible actually itself is a natural symbol.
Amen.
Do you realize that the cross, amen, is a symbol? Amen. All the Bible is full of symbols. Amen. But what is going to make it real to you is when the Spirit that put the symbol there, amen, comes up on your heart and quickens the symbol you're looking at. See, in the message, look, he said, what are you looking at? What are you seeing? We must see Jesus. And the only way we see Jesus is see the Word. Amen. See, this, the Bible, is the natural symbol of the Spirit. You know what I mean? It's the letter the Spirit quickens. See, the letter, and the Spirit quickens the letter and makes it a reality. Amen. So then you find that there's actually an order, amen, of how the reality comes or the revelation comes. It's first a symbol in heaven. Amen. The symbol is a symbol in heaven. Amen. Then the reality comes of that symbol upon the earth. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Now catch this. Amen. Look at those three stars that lined up. That was a symbol. Amen. That three magi looked at, the whole world could see those three stars. Amen. But to the world, it was symbols. Amen. But to those magi, it became a reality because the Spirit that put the symbol there was the Spirit that come upon them and said, go find him that is born King of the Jews. Amen. See, the symbol will not move the church. But when the reality of that symbol comes, it'll move the church. It'll put a fire. Oh, come on, church. It is the rising of the sun.
He said you can polish it. He said you can get it the best cart. He said like that train out there. He said, but what's wrong with it? He said there's no gas in the engine room. Amen. There's no fire in the engine room. And I say this morning, church, we can hang the pictures up. We can memorize the quotes. We can get everything just right. Amen. But if the Spirit doesn't come, it's just a symbol. But if the Spirit comes, it becomes a reality this morning. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The prophet says, isn't it strange, amen, that these stars were exactly in line for three men. He said nobody else saw it. Amen. See, just exactly in line. Amen. Now you realize you can look at something and not see it. No doubt other people could look up there, but I'm showing you that they could see it, but they couldn't see it. Amen. See, and when those stars become in unity, they united themselves together in this constellation, and three men, amen, were also anointed at the same time. Amen. So when God puts a symbol in the heavens, he unites a people on the earth, amen, to receive the revelation of that symbol. Oh, are you with me? He said you can be so united with God in his word until these things become realities, and you see them and you know they are truth. He said, see, signs of the time. You might look right over the top of it and say, ah, nonsense. Amen. But if there is a seed, if there is a pull, if there is a cry in your soul, amen, God will give you the reality. Now, you just got to realize this morning, amen, y'all are preaching me and I'm trying to lay a foundation. Amen. But catch something. John wrote the symbols. Amen. Daniel wrote the symbols. Amen. Zechariah wrote the symbols. Amen. Amen. Moses wrote symbols. Amen. But as we said, symbols must be revealed, and the revelation of that symbol is what makes it a reality. Amen. And the seventh angel of Revelation 10. Now, what is he going to do? He is going to unseal what has been sealed. Right now, let's just take for one here in Revelation 6:1. He said, I saw when the Lamb opened one of these seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of a thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, you if it's okay to set this way, at one point, Brother Bram preached Revelation 6 as a symbol. When he preaches the mighty conqueror, what's he doing? He's preaching it under a symbolic revelation that there is a bow, there is a white horse, but then the Spirit comes in the seals and says, no, that is not Christ, that is the Antichrist, that is the deceiver. And he said, see, it became real. Amen. See, when the Spirit come, it brought it from symbol to reality. Amen. Now the first seal, he picks it up and says, let's just read a little bit further. He reads Revelation 6:1. He said, when the Lamb broke that first seal, he said, a thunder roared. He said, now that's got a significance. It's got a meaning. And he said, nothing happens without a meaning. All right. A thunder roared. Wonder what happened. He said, see, wonder what that thunder was. He said, now listen here. He said, we won't have to wonder no more. Brother, that makes me want to put my shouting shoes on. When a prophet says we won't have to wonder no more, what is? John 12, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. See, you're at the end of an age there. His ministry is ending. He said, see, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. What about the hour has come when his bride must be taken away? When the angel has come, that time shall be no more. He said the angel is ready to set one foot on land and the other on sea, with a rainbow over his head, over him with his feet, and say, time is run out. And besides that, he raised up his hand and swore that time would be no more. When this happened, how perfect is it? It is a sworn affidavit to the church. Now my soul troubled. He goes on to read here in paragraph 146. Then when the Lamb opened, took the book and broke the first seal, God spoke from his eternal throne to say what the seal was to be revealed. But when it's before John, it was in symbol. Amen. Now think of this. When it was before John, it was in symbol. When John saw it, it was still a mystery. Amen. Why? It wasn't even revealed right then. It cannot be revealed until what he said here at the end time, but it come in a symbol. Now remember, a loud clapping noise of thunder is the voice of God. All right. And we won't talk about thunder. Let's talk about it. He said, it's the voice of God. He said, that's what the Bible said. It's a clap of thunder. They thought it was a thunder, but it was God. He said, see, notice the first seal when it was opened in the symbol. symbol for him. It thundered. I love this. Now what about when it's open in its reality form? Amen. See, if it thundered when it opened in its symbol form, he said then it'll thunder when it opens in its reality form. Is this all right? He said, see, it thundered as soon as that lamb struck back the seal. And what did it reveal? Not all of itself. Amen. See, first, now notice the threefold unfolding of a symbol. Amen. First, it's with God. Then next, it's with symbol. Then it's revealed three things. It's coming forth from the throne. First, it can be seen or nothing. Can't be seen or nothing. It's sealed up. Amen. Now can I preach here for a second? Amen. If you were coming in this building here this morning and there was no lights on in here and you just walked up the aisle, there was no windows, it was completely dark. And you're walking along, Brother Wade, and all of a sudden you trip. Yeah. And you keep on walking and you turn around and you walk back and you trip again. Amen. Now you say, brother, what in the world am I tripping over? All right. There's no light. Amen. There's no way to identify the object. Amen. So I say, Brother Sam, what was Brother Wade tripping over? And Brother Sam says, well, I'll tell you what I think he tripped over. I think somebody left a vacuum in the middle of the floor. So then I say, Brother Aaron, what did he trip over? Amen. He said, I'll tell you what I think he tripped over. I think he tripped over your big shoe, Brother Andrew. Amen. Now I've got two opinions. Amen. Of one symbol. Are you with me? Then I go to Brother Luis. I say, Brother Luis, what did Brother Wade trip? What did he trip over? He said, well, I think what it is a piece of wood. Okay. Now we've got three opinions. Amen. Of one symbol, and which one is right? Amen. He says it's this. He says it's a shoe. He says it's wood. He says it's a vacuum. Amen. You've got all these voices talking about the same thing. Amen. But what's going to separate? Amen. All the voices is when there is a man here who can turn on the light. Amen. See, then when the light comes on. When the light comes on, the light is not going to change what is laying there. The light is only going to reveal what is laying there. Amen. Don't you see this morning? Predestination was laying there. Seven seals were laying there. Amen. The oneness of the Godhead was laying there, but they were tripping over it. Amen. But there was a voice came. It was the voice of the seventh angel and said, this is what it is. It's not a church. It's a bride. Amen. I'm not going to call you church. I'm going to call you bride. Ah, to think this morning, it's only revealed in the last day when this actual seal is broken. Broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. See, Christ knew what it was all along. When John was looking at it in symbol, Christ knew what it was. When Daniel looked at it in symbol, Christ knew what it was. Amen. But when the symbol became a revelation, it became real to the bride. Amen. You said, Brother Andrew, why did you take so much time? Amen. To speak on symbols. Because I want to say something to you this morning. Let's go this morning. Amen. From symbol to reality. You say, Brother Andrew, is it possible? He says, here in Why Little Bethlehem, oh, come all ye faithful. We've been singing, come to Bethlehem. He said, Lord, let them see that it's not go to a little city yonder that once was in a symbol, but let's go to the reality, Jesus Christ, God's bread and water of life. How many will say this morning, I want to go to reality? Amen. I just don't want to sit here looking at symbols. Amen. Come on, young people. As long as this message, it's nothing but charts and pictures and books and tapes, it'll only be a matter of time. Amen. Before you leave it. Amen. But when it becomes a reality to you, it becomes more than a Sunday school lesson. It becomes more than a doctrine. It becomes a fire. It becomes a fire that'll consume, amen, the zeal of your house. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. What an hour to be living when the reality of the Word. He said, now the return of the Holy Spirit is bringing the Word in us, and it's abiding in there, then it's not you that speaks, it's the Word itself coming out. See, then what is your authority, spoken word church? It's not your building. Amen. It's not your pictures on the wall. Your authority is this pulpit has been dedicated to this message, and it has become more than symbol. It has become reality. Oh, to think this morning then, amen, to presume anything, it means to venture without actual authority. Amen. Or take for granted. Now, to venture without actual authority, or to take for granted, to do something before you are authorized to do it without the actual authority to do it. Amen. Now think of something this morning. The prophet of God is going to introduce to us a term, and he's going to call it scriptural authority. He's going to say, see, they have gone off without scriptural authority. They've got an authority, but it's not a vindicated authority. Now, you think of this morning how that it comes around December time. Amen. And everybody starts presuming that Christ was born on December 25th. Amen. See, they have no actual backing to base that. But what they've done is because they've not found the reality, it's still in symbol form. Amen. To them, it's just as real as it is to you that he was born in April. Amen. See, but why is it real to you? Because a revelation has come. Now, you find then that the prodigal go on to say that they actually have New Year's parties. He says, see, what they're doing is they're celebrating, presuming that their sins of the old year is gone. Amen. Now, think here. What does presuming do? He said, presuming actually produces a blanketing of the mind. Now, when you study that, you'll find that people actually practice what's called a blanketing of the mind. Now what it is, he says, is they blanken their mind and they let it become a dell or become idle, and whatever comes in is what comes in. He said, see, like whiskey is actually a blanking of the mind. He said it actually makes the mind become idle when it comes into that system. Now see, the world calls it a little clean fun. Amen. But you got to remember that we are not commissioned, amen, to let our minds become idle. Amen. Because when your mind becomes idle, then demon powers can come in. But the Bible said that we should meditate upon the word both day and night. See, he said, see, you just open your soul to Satan and he'll give you something. He said, but if you open it to Christ, if he should come in here with all the intelligence he got, he said, clothe the mind, they come to him, every promise in the scripture. He said, keep your mind alert. When you come to Christ, don't let it go blank. The devil will make you do anything, see? He'll give you a sensation, but you want an experience, amen, something that the Bible teaches, something that's real. Then you find where the church has come to this morning is the prophet of God says, we've come to another Kadesh Barnea. He said, we've come to another showdown where we're either going to go on or we're going to stay here. Amen. Me and Brother Wade were fellowshipping yesterday, last night about it. See, the prophet of God said there were four death messengers. Amen. That eat that tree of life down. He said there were four life messengers that restored that tree back. He said, see, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, the canker worm, and the locust eat it down. Amen. But he said, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, four life messengers. He said, see, now watch, the fourth is the word itself. Justification made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, see, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the person himself, amen, to come into the church. Then let me say this morning, church, we are not, amen, a Pentecostal age. We are not a Pentecostal baby this morning. Amen. The prophet's screamed as plain as I can. He said, see, get out of the shuck and let's go to the seed. There's where the life is. I say this morning, church, your Kadesh Barnea is not necessarily going to be going from justification to sanctification. It's not going to be going maybe just from sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but a lot of the Kadesh Barneas is to go from the baptism of the Holy Ghost into the person himself, Christ the Word. Now, when you see that, the prophet God said, see, what you're going to do is you're either going to go on Branham Tabernacle. He said, you're going to go on, amen, to a real revival, or you're going to stay here eating the melon, the leek, the garlic, all those things. He said, see, you're going to go on or you're going to stay here. He said, judgment begins at the house of God. Now, think of this. Who was saying that? A vindicated prophet. Then you find that the overpowering and the overshadowing presence of Almighty God is stronger than the power of the evil one to stop you from going on. See, let me say it this way. We will go forth in the message of the hour. Amen. There is a people in the earth today where we're there, so-and-so's fallen and so-and-so's quit. That doesn't change the fact, amen, that there's going to be a bride that's going to come out of the shuck. She is out of the shuck this morning. And she is in the presence of the Son. Amen. To think this morning there in Numbers 14, the Bible says that Moses would gather them all together. Now what was Moses? He was a prophet. and Moses would gather them together and he would say, now look, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to go up and you're going to presume. This is what is exactly what's going to happen. And they said, oh no. Amen. Now let me just read it to you this way. Here Israel presumed that they were all right. He had been a real good God. He said he had been a good God. He went down in Egypt, brought them out of bondage. Sure, he was a good God. Why, even rained manna out of heaven upon them. God, a good God. See, it was very well. But then when it come down to the time that his word was be fulfilled. See, the battle comes when the word becomes fulfilled. When it come to Kadesh Barnea and the spies come back with the evidence of the land beyond, then they presumed they would be all right if they would bypass that. And God was angry with them. Now think of this. Here what they're doing is they're bypassing a vindicated voice. They're taking a vindicated voice and saying, no, Moses, listen, here's what's going to happen. We're going to do this and we're going to carry on. And Moses says, but no, here's what's going to happen is you're going to go up there and the Amalekites, amen, are going to bring you down. And paraphrasing, amen. And what happened, brother? Amen. Exactly what Moses said is what happened. Amen. And notice the grief. Notice the heartache they could have spared themselves had they listened to a vindicated voice. But they bypassed that voice and said, no, it'll be this way. It'll be okay. And I'm going to bring that to today. Amen. What a bunch of grief you could spare your home. Amen. I'm just going to preach for a second. Amen. Let me just take liberty here and remind you, amen, that the pastor behind this pulpit, it's not just his job. He's not just here studying and preaching just to entertain you. Amen. It is a vindicated voice of authority to your life, a voice of authority to your home. And when that man of God tells you something, you shouldn't count it as just something, another idea or just another opinion, but you should take that man's advice. If he's a vindicated voice, which he is by the message of the hour, you should take it and heed to it. Now it may get tight here, but it won't be the first time it's got tight while I was preaching. Amen. But come on, church. When a pastor tells you, don't do that. And you say, oh, what's he know? Amen. What's he know about? Amen. But he's telling you something to spare you heartache. How many troubles and trials could you avoid in your life had you listened instead of presumed? Oh, Brother Andrew, I don't want instructions. Amen. Well, then what you're going to take is emotions. Amen. And if you take emotions, listen to what the prophet said. He said, follow instructions, not the emotions, the instructions. If Moses would have followed the emotions of the people, they'd been running all over the mountain screaming, Pharaoh's army would have got him. But they followed the instructions. Then what? Oh, God. Then what brought victory? Amen. To Israel. Why was Miriam dancing? We won't talk about dancing. Let's talk about dancing. Why was Miriam dancing? She was not dancing, amen, because of who she was. She was not, her dance was not produced, amen, because of a feeling. Her dance was produced because somebody had a voice, and it was a vindicated voice, and they followed instructions. Oh, brother, sister, I'll tell you what, you want to shout, start following instructions. Amen. You want to dance, start following instructions. Amen. You want to see a revival? Amen. Start following instructions. You say, then you're making this legalism. No, I'm not. In an age where nobody wants headship, if you raise up and say don't do it, they'll do it in your face. Amen. But here's the mystery of it. There is a bride on the earth that is recognized headship by the message of the hour. Oh, brother, sister, we've come to headship this morning. Amen. See, then what does presuming come from? Presuming comes from fear. The prophet said, see, he said borderline believers, actually paraphrasing, are actually presumers. They come so far and they think, well, I'm okay. I don't need to go no further, but they're presuming they are okay. Amen. Now it amazed me when he preaches presuming, he actually turns it and he says, now you take a young lady in the church. Amen. I'm not going to take time to read it here because it's right in front of me if you want it. But he says, see, he said, you take a young lady in the church, and he said, maybe she leans a little bit towards the world. He said, then there should be elder women in the church that she can look to as an example. Now, here it is amazing, and let me share something with you. It isn't amazing. You could have a church full of young ladies. You could have a church full of women. You could have a sister in there. Brother Wade, she prays 3 times a day. She listens to tapes. She's an old-fashioned prayer warrior. She comes to church on time. Woo! Amen. Amen. Always faithful. Amen. Always behind the word. Always helping the church. She can be there for years. Amen. And young girls looking at her and never one time want to be like her. But you let a girl, a woman come in church, it gets an old lust spirit on her, and she may be a deacon's wife, or she may be a trustee's wife, or some position of wife, amen, and she puts on a pair of high heels, and then she trims the ends of her hair, puts a little makeup on, and every girl in the church will start looking at that, and say, you know what, we can do that, and you know what they're doing, they're presuming. You know why? Well, she's a deacon's wife, she can do it, and if she can do it, so can I. But let me tell you something, church, let's get away from presuming, and let's get back to the word. Amen. For the word is our example. The word is our standard. I don't care what you do. You shouldn't care what I do. It's what the word says. Amen. And if what we're doing is wrong, then let's do what the prophet said and humble ourselves and come back to the word and say, God, what I was doing was wrong, but your word is right. Amen. See, well, Brother Andrew, they can do it and they're still blessed of God. Let me remind you that the blessings of God is no sign. Let me say it this way. The blessings of God has been reduced. The sign of God's blessings has been reduced to sunny skies being the sign of God's approval and cloudy skies being the sign of God's disapproval. But do you realize the very day Israel disbelieved, it still rained manna out of heaven? The very day that they went against the word, the manna fell just the same. So because you're getting blessed, does it mean that you're in the will of God? Amen. Because you're getting blessed, does it mean that you're in the approval of God? You got to come back to the plumb line, which is the word. Amen. I think of what David says in Psalms 37:37. He says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Amen. See, young people, if I could share something with you that helped me as a young man, is mark somebody. Amen. Mark somebody that you see in this message. Mark somebody that you see that's faithful. Don't mark people that show up when they want to. Well, let's have church. We got up and got ready. We might as well. Amen. Don't mark people that the church can't rely upon. Mark somebody and say, God, whatever they've got that keeps them going when the world is against them, whatever they've got, amen, that causes them to praise you is what I want in my life, in my heart, in my family. I don't want to be a presuming believer. I want to be a vindicated scriptural authority believer. He says what we need today to be spiritual is a person that will humble themselves before God. If they haven't got a penny, they will pray till that spirit within them is satisfied with the goodness of God, and a revival takes place on the inside of their heart that changes their attitudes and atmosphere that they live in. Now think of this. Samson was born under a Nazarite vow. But you realize what Samson done? Samson, he began to presume. When he lied to Delilah, each time Samson lied, he had the fault. Brother Aaron, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. I'll just keep on lying. I'll just keep on going. And before long, when it come time for power, there was no power there. You know why? Because the prophet said Samson presumed that he could just do anything and just get by with it. Why is the church world in the condition they're in this morning? Is because they presumed that we can do what we want to and just get by with it. But that's not coming from a voice of authority. And he turns and says the same thing to the church. And when Samson arose and shook himself, he found out God wasn't there. Let me say this morning, church, God does not presume, but God consumes. Amen. Paul say, for our God is a consuming fire. See, it's consuming, and you are God's sacrifice. Then how does supreme authority come to believer? It comes by the word, to the believer with faith to receive the things that we pray for. Let's look here in Mark 11:24. The Bible says, therefore, I say unto you, what things you soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now look at what this word receive means. I'm watching time, so I'm not going to be much longer. But look here at what the word receive means. It means to take with a hand, to lay hold of any person or anything in order to use it, to take up a thing, to be carried, to take up on oneself, to take in order to carry away. See, without the notion of violence. Now I'll just say it this way. Our strength, amen, lays in the full assurance that the God who made the promise is able to keep the promise, then the Holy Ghost reveals himself to you by keeping his promise. It's not shouting. It's not dancing. Though we believe in those things, though we love those things, the Holy Ghost reveals himself to you by keeping his promise. The prophet said through the Holy Ghost, he said when there comes a time that God through the Holy Ghost reveals Christ back in the church with the power and demonstrations of healing the sick and making signs, he said when all the believers come to pass, then Satan turns over in his bed. He does something about it. Until that time, Satan don't care how much church you join. He don't care how much you do. When Christ reveals to you, oh God, when Christ reveals to you that he is the Son of God and the works that he did, you do also, not some other works, but the same works. See, then authority comes by the identification of the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother Andrew, nobody in the church will give me any time. Am I holding too long? Can I have a few more minutes? Hey, well, Brother Andrew, I'll tell you what, glory to God, I got before somebody and they was demon possessed and I looked him in the eyes and I told him, Satan, come out, and nothing happened. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, the devil ain't scared of you. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, the devil, you can throw Bibles, you can throw oil, you can stomp, you can spit. I was down at Tim, Brother, I share this with you. I was down at Brother Tim Pruitt's camp last year. Some of y'all was there, young people. Brother Aaron, you remember that prayer line? I was preaching there Sunday morning. After the prayer line Saturday night, I come in the office that morning and Brother Tim was sitting there. He said, yeah. He said, man, we had a prayer line last night. I said, yeah. I said, I left about halfway through it. He said, yeah. He said, notice. He said, last night we had 5 or 6 or more demonic manifestations. Now, I know people said, Brother Andrew, hey, if you go to prayer lines and you get in the Holy Ghost, you know, that's going back to Pentecost. No, it's not. A prophet of God still had prayer lines at the end of his ministry. He said, Brother Andrew, he said 5 or 6. He said, I don't even know how many even after the kids left the dorm, went to the dorms, demons raising up. I said, Brother Tim, that's something, isn't it? He said, but here's what I want to say. You know, Brother Tim, he took that finger and he said, but there wasn't a one of them got the victory over us. He said, there wasn't a one of them got the victory. He said, now let me tell you this. He said, there was one raised up in a young man and he said, there were people down there screaming and they were hollering. They were throwing all. They were screaming, shut up, and they were screaming, don't speak. And Brother Wade, he said, I sat there for a few minutes, and he said, all of a sudden, a peace come over me. And he said, I just stood up and I walked down there, and he said, I looked at that boy that had that demon in him, and I looked him in the eyes, and I looked at that demon, and I said, go. And he said, when I said go, the boy fell limp. And can I testify to you today, that same boy is still delivered? Amen. Amen. It's not how loud you holler. It's not how much you throw. It's an authority, and the devil recognizes authority. Young people, you want to do something in the church? Get the Holy Ghost. You want to change the atmosphere? Get the Holy Ghost. It'll bring an authority. It'll settle a peace in your heart. My, what is supreme authority? Amen. Supreme authority is an office that someone holds that is superior to all others. Amen. Don't get mad at me, but if you got the Holy Ghost this morning, you are more superior than Donald Trump. If you've got the Holy Ghost this morning, you've got more authority. Come on, church. We saw that manifestation of authority over in Finland when the doctor said he was dead and the paramedics were there and a prophet knelt down and said, I'd been here before. I'd seen this in a vision. Brother Bram didn't run around jumping, screaming, amen, kicking the boy, amen, throwing cars over. He said, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I adjure you and I call for life. Amen, to come back in this boy's body. And the boy got up. Come on, church. Brother Wade, I love to tell that story. But you know what, Brother Dale? My favorite part to tell about that story is when the prophet of God said, you could have lined every devil in hell up. You could have lined everyone up, including the devil himself, and you still could have not stopped that boy from raising back to life. Oh, then spoken word church, may I tell you this morning, let every demon in hell, let every imp in hell, let every dark spirit in hell surround itself around this building. But if the Holy Ghost is here this morning, the devil don't stand a chance. Oh, I'm rejoicing this morning to know there is no limits on God. Amen. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He said, see, amen, I'm coming to a close now. Them seven messengers. Amen. Amen. Let me, I better be careful saying I'm coming to a close. You say that at Homer's, you come to a close because his musicians come. Amen. Amen. Now notice this. Homer said, no, God closed five times. He said, we ain't doing that again. He said, no, we ain't doing that. You gotta love Homer, right? Amen. They speak and act upon his authority. He said, see, he stands behind them. That's you this morning. Well, Brother Andrew, the only person with authority was those seven messengers. But get this. There was not a Holy Ghost that Paul had and then a different Holy Ghost for the Ephesians. Amen. The same Holy Ghost that Paul had was the same Holy Ghost the Ephesians had. And I'm going to bring it to today. The same Holy Ghost that William Branham had is the same Holy Ghost, young man, you've got. Amen. The same Holy Ghost is here this morning. He still heals the sick. Brother Lord, he still casts out devils. He still gives the Holy Ghost. He still changes hearts. He still restores marriages. I say this morning, let the same pillar of fire come in this building and drive out every unbelieving spirit and watch God give you an authority over that spirit against you. There's a voice of authority coming this day that said, no need to look back. Look up. Don't look back to Alan and Cole and Shambach and all. No, look up. Amen. Look up. Amen. Because the same God that was here with William Branham is the God of Elijah dead. Is the God of Elijah dead. Elijah's God is not dead. He's here this morning. Authority, headship, leadership, direction has come. My, you love him this morning. Woo. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not a headless body this morning. We got a direction. We're not going in circles this morning. We know who we are. We know what we believe. Brother Andrew, how can you say that? Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and go here. Amen. Because I believe we're here this morning. You look at Revelation 10th chapter. I'm going to close with this here. Revelation 10th chapter. In the first verse. We are that body. But without a head, a body is going nowhere. Without a head, the body does not function. Without a head, there is no operation. But when headship comes, authority comes. Look with me in Revelation 10:1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, amen, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, how many knows Brother Ram's going to come in 1965 and preach a message called This Day? This scripture is fulfilled. Now, it amazed me, Brother Dale, is that Brother Bram actually preaches that in Arizona in January. Then he comes to Jeffersonville in February and preaches it again. Now, if you listen to it in Arizona, Brother Wade, sometimes I listen to that and I about cry. You know why? Because the prophet is preaching the word and they're not saying amen. It's like it's just going out and falling down. You don't hear no response. Amen. But notice what he does. He takes that same message back to Jeffersonville. And he takes Luke, the 4th chapter, and he says, as it was the custom of the Lord Jesus, he went into the temple on the Sabbath, and he found the place that was written, and he read. Notice where Jesus went. He went back. Remember, said scriptures have compound meaning, right? He went back to the place he come out of. Jesus went back to the place that probably ridiculed him the most, was the very place that he identified himself from the Word as the Messiah. They didn't tell Brother Bram in Arizona that tabernacle was going to be a car garage, but in Jeffersonville, they said in just a few days, amen, that building will be a car garage. Amen. But a prophet comes back and he says, but around the world from this pulpit has gone a message that has built revival fires up on every hill. And he takes Revelation 10:1 and he says, and another mighty angel comes down. Now, how many knows that actually happened in 1963? I went back and asked the brother, brother if he could give me that picture before, but when it first appeared in Life magazine. When you see this here, amen, I'm going to close with this. But I feel good. Woo. Amen. When you see this picture here, it appears there in Arizona. And the prophet of God said they took pictures of it. He said they studied it. He said kids was let out of school. Now what is this, brother? It's a symbol. It's a symbol. There's a symbol here. And Brother Bram said, see, he said it appeared there. He said now, but if you look at it, it's a symbol. What does it mean? Now how many here's ever heard of a name, Brother Ed Hunter? Brother Ed Hunter is actually out of Muncie, Indiana. He's a pastor there, retired now. But Brother Ed was actually from Texas, and he followed Brother Bram's meetings. He would drive from Texas. I love to hear him and Sister Billy talk about it. And say, we'd go from Texas all the way to Jeffersonville and back. And Brother Ed said, now people won't drive 6 minutes to go to church. He said, we were driving about 16 hours. He said, but there was such a quickening power there. There was such a fire coming. He said, Brother Andrew, he said, I remember after this picture was taken, he said that it began to get among the people. Remember? Amen. They made copies of it. Now what I love about this is Brother Ed said they had pictures on the morning of the rising of the sun, 1965. He said they had pictures out front. I actually went out and sat down with him. I said, Brother Ed, I want you to tell me this the way you remember it. He got happy telling it again. He said, Brother Andrew, he said they had pictures. He said, we was all out front of the tabernacle. He said, we was all looking at him. He said, people was running around. They were saying, do you see that angel? He said, then one run over and say, do you see this? He said, everybody was out there. He said, they were turning it this way and that way and looking. He said they were looking every which way and they weren't seeing what they were supposed to see. He said, so we all came in the tabernacle and he said, Brother Bram gets up and says, now there's a picture gotten out. What was taking place there? He said, now I went to Jack Moore and I said, Jack, what is this? He said, Brother Bram, that's Jesus Christ in his glorified body. He said, that didn't ring a bell. You know why? Because no offense, but Jack Moore was a theologian, but the word of the Lord comes to a prophet. Amen. The revelation of the word comes to a prophet. And the prophet said, and I went back in my room and then he came. Amen. He came and he said, now take that picture and turn it to the right. He said, now when I turn it to the right, there it is. And I love these next words. He says, that's our Lord up there. Hey, that's our Lord up there. And what is our Lord? Our Lord is headship. Come on, church. When you see that, oh, brother, they can call it smoke. They can call it a cloud. They can call it a fiction of our imagination. But there is one, amen, there is one young guy here in front of you this morning that they will never talk me out of that because it has become more than a symbol. It is headship. I love what he says. He says, and since the revelation come, our home has not been without one. Brother Andrew, that's a picture. It may still be a picture to you. But to the bride, it's headship. It's Christ. It's our Lord. It's direction. It's a prophet announcing the days of presuming is over. Presuming days are over, brother. We now know what he was talking about. We now know the truth. Amen. Listen to him say, in just a few days, we'll know the truth on marriage and divorce. No, I'm not going to preach on it, so relax. We're knowing the truth on serpent seed. What is it? Direction is coming. Let me just leave you with this morning. Message churches are not just churches. They're the only place left on the earth that there is still authority.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
When it comes to Christianity.
Yes, amen. Believe that.
Now, Brother Andrew, you're getting pretty far out there with the message. Well, I'll tell you why. Because if it never becomes a reality to you, somebody will talk you out of it.
Amen.
I've been there. I've been there. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 9 years old. 9 years old. Started preaching when I was 13. Raised in the message. Brother, I heard tapes all my life. Heard the message. I knew it. I heard it. But there's going to come a time you got to make a stand. Brother Dale, I had this idea that we preach and travel. When the Lord called me to go out,
brother, I never could come to the concept that what I heard on those tapes, if you preached it, people would disagree with you. I couldn't wrap my mind. I thought, my Lord is a vindicated prophet. It's coming from the scriptures. Man, when I heard him say you're the sinless, spotless bride of Jesus Christ, I couldn't wait to get to a pulpit and say, church, do you know what a prophet said about you? He said, you're the bride. You don't have one sin against you. Well, Brother Andy, you gotta be careful. But here's what I've come to, and this is where you've gotta come to. A revelation in your heart. That if the closest person to you tries to talk you out of it, you'll say, you're not taking my authority. You're not taking my authority. This message is our authority. The prophet God close says this. Jesus Christ is in this building tonight. He said to perform miracles, but he does it through his church, his people. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name they shall cast out evil spirits. Is that right? The commission's given to the church. That's what the matter with the church today. It doesn't know its position.
Right.
If you know positionally who you was and what you are tonight, there wouldn't be a feeble person in here in the next 5 minutes. That's right. The thing of it is you're looking off into a millennium for something to happen when it's already here. Now we are the sons of God. Not we will be, we are right now. When this night, right now, this minute, we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, if you'd only recognize that and the supreme authority.
Yes.
And the supreme, somebody say supreme authority.
Supreme authority.
That Jesus Christ has given to every believer.
Amen. Right.
Anything you have desire of, need of, only thing you have to do is ask.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
And then run around and jump and holler and try to figure. We believe in those things. But a prophet said, ask and receive it.
Amen.
Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe.
Right.
I say this morning, church, let this message become more than a symbol.
Yes.
Let it become a reality.
Amen.
Let it become authority. You mamas, let it become authority to you. When that baby's running a temperature in the middle of the day. Let this Holy Ghost that you've got be an authority to lay your hand on your child and say, Satan, stop.
Yep.
In the name of Jesus. You ain't coming no further. Brothers, let this message be an authority to you to go home and say, hey, these things ain't going to be in this home. These books ain't going to be read in this home. This music, come on, church.
Right.
This message come to give it. What good does it do to have a church building full of authority if our homes are not churches of homes of authority?
Right.
Let it become an authority to you this morning. Do you love him today?
Amen.
As the musicians come, don't presume this morning.
Right.
Let the Spirit of God take the symbol and turn it. And you see it this morning for yourself. Young person, don't let this message just be a bunch of books and tapes to you. Let the Spirit of God come in your heart this morning. You realize Brother Bram didn't change one thing in that picture. When he turned to the right, he didn't change one detail in that picture. What changed? The way he was looking at it. The position of it. I know this is simple, and I know you've heard this hundreds of times. Remember Brother Bram talked about that sculpture? He said they was all looking at it, couldn't see it. They were looking at it, and they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. They were trying to figure it out. He said, man, come by. He said, now, brother, he said, actually what you got to do is you got to get down. He said, then you got to look up. He said, the problem was they were standing up looking down. He said, but they had to get down and look up. Don't you thank God for a simple prophet? Just get down and look up. Well, Brother Andrew, I don't understand all this. I don't understand why Brother Wade Sherman preaching on the feast. I don't understand why they're going. I don't understand why Brother Dale's preaching. I don't understand it. I tell you, I'm looking at it. Let me ask you how you're looking at it. You take a young lady that's actually looking at holiness standards. If she's looking at it from standing up, looking down, she's going to argue with it. When she gets down, humbles herself to the word. And says, Lord, this is your word. I humble myself to it. I believe personally this morning, a great victory in a lot of hearts and lives could be a good dose and baptism of humility. Humble thyself. Humble thyself. Isn't it something, Brother Dale? Brother Bradford says the cry of the ages. I'm wrong. When everybody's screaming, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, a prophet comes along and says, but what you should be saying is, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Heard a brother say one time, it's always stuck with me, it's become real to me. He said, sometimes I'll get down to study or sit down in my office to study. He said, one thing I realize I do is I do a lot of repenting and a little bit of studying. I'm wrong, but Brother Bram's right. I was looking at it wrong, but that's right. You want to fall in love with Jesus again this morning? You want that fire back about serving the Lord? You want a zeal this morning? Brother Andrew, the preachers have got it, but you need it. Won't you let him come by this morning? Won't you let the divine revealer, the Holy Ghost, take the symbols you're looking at and make them reality this morning? Would you stand to your feet with us today? How many believes the pillar of fire is still with the church? I don't believe it's in a grave this morning. I believe it's right here. I think of how you may have heard the testimony before, but Brother Ron Spencer had a man in his church that died. He was a real godly man. Loved the Lord, served the Lord, and he died. And they had a funeral there for him in the church, and they brought his casket before the church. They were having the funeral. And some people had sent flowers, and the flowers were laying around the casket. You may have heard this. Brother Ron tells it. The testimony comes. He says, while the funeral was going on, the pillar of fire come right in there. Man, what kind of life did you live when the pillar of fire comes to your funeral? Pillar of fire come right in there. And Brother Ron said that pillar of fire, they said it just come down, and it kind of just swooped right across those flowers and that casket. And when it did, there were flowers there that hadn't opened up yet. They were still closed. But when the pillar of fire come by, Brother Aaron, the flowers just busted open. They just bloomed right there. Ooh, I'm about to catch a second wind. Are you hearing me this morning, church? The pillar of fire is not here just to entertain us. We're not here just, oh, I saw the pillar of fire. No, the pillar of fire is here to open up our hearts. Here to open up the bride to receive this word. Amen. To receive this authority. How many will raise your hand and say, God, open my heart this morning? Maybe I've been here for 20 years or 30 years or 10 years or 5 years or 5 minutes, but this morning, God, I want the pillar of fire to open my heart. I'm tired of just hearing sermons. I'm tired of just hearing tapes. I'm tired of just seeing pictures. This morning, Lord, I want to see the reality of it. I want to see more than a belt buckle. I want to see more than a picture. I want to see you this morning. I want to feel that same authority. I want to feel that same stimulation of revelation that Brother Bradham felt when the angel of the Lord came in there on that third seal. I want to feel that same anointing he felt. Oh. Is it possible this morning, church? It's possible. Right here. Right now. He can open your eye. Would you just bow your hearts with us this morning? Would you just raise your hands to him and say, Father, open my life. Lord, open my heart. Open me today, God. I believe he's here today, friends. I'm going to tell you like he said in Wild Little Bethlehem. He said, come on, let's go from symbol to reality. Yes, hallelujah. Yes. Heavenly Father, Lord, your believers are here today, dear God. Lord, there's hands raised all across this building. Lord, my hand is raised as well. Father, we bow our hearts in your presence. Lord, we bow our spirits. We humble ourselves before you today, Lord. Father, I remember several years ago, as just a young preacher starting out and traveling, Lord, I remember a brother, an elder, sitting me down and just sharing with me some things.
Lord, as I was preaching this morning, it just come to my heart. He said, don't ever get to the point you can't get down and look up to the message. Don't ever come to a spot you can't humble yourself and look up at the message. He said, many men stand behind the pulpit and look down at it and don't see it. But arrogance and pride, they keep trying to promote what they don't see and cause confusion. Oh God, how I've shaped my life by that, not just in ministry, but in everything. Help me today, dear God, not to presume. Lord, help us today, Father. Lord, young men, young ladies here today, God. Lord, no doubt some of them on the verge of getting married and courtships and different things transpiring in their lives. But oh God, if they're a young man struggling with this message and arguing with this message, Lord, if they don't get down and let it become a reality to them, they'll marry a wife and lead her in that confusion. And Lord, children will come along and the kids will be as confused because there's no authority. But oh God, I pray this morning, Lord, every preacher, every deacon, every housewife, every mama, every daddy, every young person, every musician, Lord, I pray every Sunday school teacher this morning, dear God, help us to get down and look up. Help us today, dear God, to look up to your word. Help us today not to argue with the vindicated voice you sent, Lord. Father, if there would be home issues and troubles in lives and marriages, Lord, but they would consult a godly pastor, Father. But that old spirit of the age, that old feeling of the last day, you don't have to listen to nobody. Do what feels right. Keep on your own way. Lord, when that man of God would labor and tell him what to do, God, give him a spirit of humility, not to presume that they can do it their way and be okay, but help him to say, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender to the voice of authority of your word. Oh, Lamb of God, come by this morning, Father. Take us from symbol, Lord. Take us from just books and tapes and pictures and charts and graphs. Take us this morning, God, into that Shekinah glory, Lord. Take us in there where the revelation lays and unfold yourself to us. Make yourself so real to us this morning, dear God, that if our best friend quit tomorrow, we would rise up and say, I'm going on. If our favorite preacher fell by the wayside today, we would rise up and say, I'm going on. I'm going on. I'm going on. I see more than a symbol. I see the reality of a future home. I see the reality of a theophany. I see the reality of a body change. Satan, get behind me. I'm going on in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, I defy you in the name of Jesus. Come away from God's believing children in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, won't you just bow your head and raise your hands this morning. While the dissolver of all doubts is in the building today. While the Holy Ghost is moving and brooding across this congregation. Won't you say, Heavenly Father, come. Heavenly Father, move. Glory. Heavenly Father, speak to my heart. Oh, quicken my soul. Quicken that seed inside of my heart. Hallelujah. Oh, that's it today, friends. Let it become more than just a church experience. Let it become more than just a religious duty on Sunday morning. But let something become so real to you today, God. Hallelujah.
Victory is won, and it's already done.
I'm already sealed.
Oh, I'm already sealed.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my family is sealed. Oh, hallelujah. My family is sealed.
You believe it today? We're sealed by the Holy Ghost.
The battle is over. The victory is won. My family is sealed.
You know, this morning... You know, this morning, as they play that softly just a second. You know, you can go to places and you can see things, but it can still not become real to you. I just feeling just the Lord just brought this to my mind to share with you just before we turn the service over. You know, people, Brother Dale, they spend thousands of dollars to go to Israel. I mean, Brother Shrewsbury told me one time, he said, Brother Andrew, he said, if you ever get to go to Israel, he said, it'll make the Bible a new book to you.
He said, but Brother Andrew said, if you never get to go, he said, but if you got the message, it's already become a new book to me. Brother Shrewsbury, you love him. He's one of a kind. He said, Brother Andrew, I was over there one time and he said, they took us and they showed us, they took us to the place where the Lord was buried, you know. So we went there and he said, well, we was there. He said, there was a guy actually said, you believe this really happened? Now he spent all this money to go see the Bible become alive and stand there and say, do you really believe this really happened? He's standing at the symbol. A few years ago, brother told me that he took a, brother Doug Baker, he took a brother up for a tour up on top of Sunset Mountain up there on the mountain where the sword of the Lord came down. If you ever go up there with brother Doug, he'll stand there and he'll give you a sermon and share things with you. It's powerful hearing. But he said, Brother Andrew, he said, out of all the years, I'm praying this. If it don't get through to nobody but a young person, let it hear me this morning. He said, several years ago, I brought a brother up here. He said, he was a preacher. He said, we got up here and he said, he'd been preaching for a long time. And he said, Brother Doug, he said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. And he began to tame the quotes and how that sword come down. He said, it's real. You know, Brother Doug gets up there and he starts crying. He believes it. It's real to him.
Amen.
Brother Wade, he said, of all those years, I had a preacher look at me and say, Brother Doug, do you really believe this even happened? Do you really believe that the sword acted? You really actually think all this happened? And I thought, Brother Dale, there's a man standing at the place it happened, standing at a symbol, but don't even have the reality. But there's going to be young people going to rapture that never stood where the sword come down. They never went by the grave of Jesus, but they're going to walk the shores of, they're going to walk the streets of gold because it's become real to them. It's become more than an idea. It's become a reality to them. You love him this morning. Would you say, Father, make it real to me this morning. Drive it in my heart today. Drive it in my heart by your spirit. As he sings again, if anyone needs prayer, come, we'll pray for you this morning as we turn it over to our pastor. God bless you this morning. Oh, it's all. Bless you, Brother Dale. Bless you, sir.
Give our brother a good hand. Amen. Thank him for the message we've heard this morning. Looking forward this afternoon. We know that some of you are going home and all, and you know, going back to Florida, and that's a long trip. So we're going to pray for you that the Lord will give you a safe journey and all as you're going home and all. And we just thank everybody for all that was done last night and getting everything fixed and done and serving and cleaning up and doing and administering and the worshiping and everything. Thank you for all of it.
Amen.
It was a good time. Just tell our brother how much you appreciate it, all right? Father, as we come to an end of the service this morning, we pray that you would just bless all of these, Lord, that will be on their way home after a while. Give them a safe journey. Let everything be okay. Let all roads clear and all wrecks gone and things, Father, and just have your way. We love you. Looking forward to the service this afternoon in you, and we pray that you'd bless. God, keep each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are past.